Before we start the show, I want to thank the thousands of you, the thousands who have read This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Many of you have told me that the book's unique way of exploring fear, confidence, and purpose has had a lasting impact, that it's much easier for you to get clarity and direction about what really matters and what you want to do in this lifetime. It's also amazing to hear that quite a few of you have read it multiple times and even bought copies for friends. So thank you again. Just in case you weren't aware, I created a free companion video course for the book. And in these videos, I walk you through the big takeaways and practices from each chapter. And I even cover some extra stuff that's not included in the book. Information on how to access the course is in newer versions of the book. And if you own an older version of the book and you don't know how to access the course, just hit me up via the contact form at triplanier.com and we'll get you all set up. And one last thing, if you're one of the thousands who have already read the book, please consider leaving an honest review on Amazon so that others can decide if it's right for them. Again, thank you so much for reading This Book Will Make You Dangerous. And now let's start the show.
You are listening to The New Man Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach and group facilitator, Trip Lanier.
Are you spending your day trying to get money, ass, or attention? Do you accumulate things in order to feel better about yourself? And how could you earn a living by helping others transform their lives for the better? This week, Guy Sengstock is back for part two of our talk on finding your purpose and mission in life. So we're back with Guy Sengstock talking about purpose, how to find meaning in your life, what actually has you, what's driving you, what's the thing underneath that has you doing what you're doing. And I'm curious, Guy, tell us how you found your purpose.
So I had an intuition my whole life of that I needed to follow my heart. And I didn't always know what it was said, and I had a hard time, like, it was always an inquiry of feeling into, like, what is it that I really wanted? And at about, when I was about 21, I realized, you know, I've been doing art all my life, but I've always had this conflict about, like, well, God, you know, I can't bank on making a living as an artist. And so I just kind of went, okay, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to, you know, I'll do something else like it where I can make money. And then I started to enroll into a school to do something else. And the moment I enrolled into a school to do something else, I got sick. And it was weird. I got sick in a way that I'd never been sick before. It was a very strange kind of sick. I could barely get out of bed. And I felt like I had the flu, but I had no, like, flu-like symptoms other than just, like, I couldn't get out of bed. And I had this, I was achy all over, but I didn't have a sore throat or anything like that. And I laid in bed for about a week, and the application was for the school was sitting on my desk, half done. And I'm trying to do the application while I'm sick, and I couldn't finish it because when I would try to do it, I just felt sicker.
Hello.
And then all of a sudden, I'm lying in bed, and it dawns on me like a flashlight, like, Guy, what the fuck are you doing? You don't really want to do this. You really want to be an artist. And in the moment I realized that, like, I broke into a cold sweat. I lost my fever. And I was like, okay, all I know is I'm not doing this and I'm going to be an artist. An hour later, my friend calls me. He's like, hey, man, I'm moving out to Santa Cruz. I'm stopping in San Francisco. I'll pay for the whole trip. I just want you to help me to move. I'm like, oh, cool. I remember my high school art teacher told me about this cool school in San Francisco, art school in San Francisco. So he comes, picks me up. I go to San Francisco. I check this school out. I was making my living as a trainer at the time. I got a gym at a block away from the school. And within 3 months, I moved to San Francisco and was enrolled in art school. And just followed my heart. Now, you would have thought that, oh, guy's purpose was to be an artist. Well, I go into art school, and about a year into art school, I happen to take this kind of men's retreat course. I met Jared Candelaria and David Niebauer. We started to create a friendship with one another, and Jerry and I one day started this spontaneous process that we now call circling. And we had this experience of just relating to them in such a way that they realized the different ways in the moment that they weren't really being truly themselves, in such a way that they were able to strip it away and feel what was really going on underneath and feel even deeper into that, into who they really were. And the moment that they saw who they really were, that implicit, beautiful, exquisite, innocent presence, that uniqueness of them came out of their eyes, and it became completely, viscerally felt by everyone in the group. And it was like, it was as if when that moment happened, it was as if everyone could sit there and stay there forever, is what was the feeling, because we were so astounded by the beauty of this person that was hidden behind all these masks and these fears. Now, at the end of that, me and Jerry looked at each other and were like, what the hell was that? And I looked at him and I was like, I don't know. He's like, I don't know either. And we just shook hands and we committed to bringing that out into the world. Now, at that time, I was still thinking I'm going to be an artist. I was in art school, right? But I would start to do these courses, and I'm thinking, oh, this is just something I'm doing. People started going, hey, man, you're gifted at this. Hey, man, you're gifted at this. And then I started to notice I felt most alive when I was doing this. And after a couple of years, I got the hint. I'm a little bit slow, right? But all of a sudden, I got honest with myself. I was like, oh, because I had a certain amount of attachment to being an artist. But what I realized is that, like, when I really listened to the world was telling me, no, God, this is your gift. And I started to notice, yeah, I had to get honest with myself. I felt most alive when I did this. And so I just followed that. And I just kept following where I felt most alive and making sure that it was really in my heart, the place that I felt most alive and the place that where my desire, my deepest heart was most fulfilled. Hmm. And I've just been following that thread through my life. And now I'm really at this point now where literally, I mean, everything that I do is out of this deep purpose that it's very difficult for me to put into words. And I think for some people, it's really important to be able to put your purpose into language.
Right.
But really, your purpose, when it comes down to whatever it is that you put into language, is just a pointer to something that you can't really describe in words. And it's because it's like it's synonymous with the very why of your existence, why you're here on the planet. Hmm. Right, which you can't really encompass in words.
Yeah.
It's, for me, my life has become a symbol of my purpose. The people I hang out with, the way I make my money, everything that I do, what I do, has been a function of me just following my heart. But it's also been, and this is what's really important too, what you were just talking about, Trip, is it's also been a function of being in deep relationship with other men and other people that have been genuine and honest with me.
It's key to have that feedback, because we can have these euphoric moments, we can have these revelations and use that to bullshit ourselves even more. And I think having people around us just to catch our language, things that we say, yeah, well, it's not that bad, or it's these little things. Just have people be like, why do you say that? Just even ask the question, why do you always say that? And they're usually these wormholes. They're just, oh, I'm going to follow that down. Oh, there's another chunk that's sitting there. And it's kind of, I'm using to see the world. And it keeps me from being more in touch with the thing that I really want to do.
Yes. Human beings are the only things that we know about that can tell ourselves that we aren't what we are. That's why I think that the myth that summarizes being a human being is the narcissist myth, right? Because narcissists, we all know the story of narcissists. He's standing in front of the pond and he sees his own reflection. And he falls in love with his own reflection. But he doesn't realize that what that reflection is himself. So he's in agony, yearning for the unattainable reflection in the water. If he realized that it was a reflection of himself, what would happen?
Just be himself.
He would go, oh my God, I already am that which I'm yearning for, and he would relax back. I think that deep relaxation, relaxing back, I think that's what they call enlightenment. That you realize that you already are what you've been searching for.
That's beautiful.
You've really found your purpose when it's not something that lives outside of you to get, but it's the place, it's who you are, and it's the place that you come from. If I were to ask you, all right, you know, what do you want? And you say, well, I want a BMW. And I go, okay, well, let's say you had the BMW. What would that give you? And you may say, well, God, if I had a BMW, then I'd have confidence. And then I hold out my left hand, and I said, okay, and my left hand is the BMW, and my right hand is the confidence. And let's say you could either have the BMW or you can have the confidence. People will always, 9 times out of 10, I won't say always, but I really do mean always, if I'm really honest with myself. We'll always pick the confidence. See, we think that we want the things that we want, but no. Well, we want the things that we want because of the experience we think that those things will give us. Now, if we ask the same question and I say, all right, so if you could have the BMW or the confidence, well, I want the confidence because that's what I really want.
Right.
Now, if you had that confidence already, could it be that a BMW can be an expression of that confidence? Oh, totally.
Right.
In fact, if you had that confidence already, could you see how you would be a lot more resourceful to be able to do whatever you had to do to get a BMW that would be an expression of that confidence? When you don't have a purpose, life is about I don't have something, I'm going to do X, Y, Z in order to get it. So then I'll have it. Versus when you have a purpose, I already am it, and whatever I do and the results that produce is an expression of that.
That is huge.
That is a fundamental different way to live.
I'm going to say that again. If I'm not on purpose, then the world is this place where I'm trying to get something. I'm trying to take something. I'm trying to get this thing so I will have that feeling. But if I'm on purpose, if I'm in touch with this deeper part of myself, then the world is a place where I'm expressing it. And I'm just talking to listeners now. It's like, think about the people you know that in their interactions are trying to get something from you. It feels like shit. And then think about the people that you've experienced where they're giving something. They're coming from a place of generosity and fire and passion, and it's just electric. I find myself wanting to help those people. Even if they need something, I'm like, what do you need? I want to help you. I want to help you do the thing that you do. It's a huge fundamental shift whenever I got that distinction, and you gave me that distinction. It was like, oh my God, that's it.
That's it.
That's the big one. Let's kind of wind it down. What's the one thing a guy can do today that'll help him start to get in touch with this feeling? You talked about like noticing when you're feeling more alive. You talked about noticing when you're following your heart. Maybe that's a good place to start.
I think the first thing to do is look at what you're already doing. If you're working, right? If you're raising a family, if you're not working, you know, if you're sitting down playing Donkey Kong, you know, taking bong hits all day, whatever you're doing, right? If you're making $1 million at a corporate job, sit down for a second, right? And if you can, if you have the kind of relationships with people in your life that you can have this kind of conversation, a deep conversation, an honest conversation with, if you can, do this with another person. But ask yourself the question, why am I really doing this corporate job? Why am I really sitting down and spending all day surfing porn? Why am I really driving to work right now? Why am I really raising a family? What is my purpose in doing that? And start to be honest with yourself. Is it, am I doing it because that's just what you do? As you may notice, like, have I even ever asked myself that question? Right? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And what is it that if I get what I am trying to get, if I accomplish what I try to accomplish, say I accomplish it. Say, like, you know, I'm at the corporate job so that I can become vice president or VP of the company. And then ask yourself, okay, so say if I had that, what would I get through that that's even greater than that? Well, God, then I'd have freedom. Okay, well, what if you had that freedom already? What if you had that freedom already? Then what would you do? You may still do what you're doing, but you may do it in a very different way, and it may feel very different. Or you may find yourself, I'm quitting this job, because actually that's not an expression of freedom. That's mm-hmm. an expression of a trap. Who knows what you'll do after you ask that question, but that's the most important question to ask first, because there's always a why.
And I would just challenge the guy, don't settle for the first answer. Oh, to make money. Like, why do I make money? Like, follow that down. Why do I do that? Then why do I do that? Like, see if you can follow it down to this core. Imagine like a seed in the ground. Like, what is that seed?
And if you find that seed, right, once you find that seed, be honest with yourself. Did I choose that? Did I myself, as a free human being, as a living, breathing, free human being, choose that? Did I choose that? If the answer is no, then that is a place to start from. I'll go, okay, what would I choose? And where you want to look is look in your heart. And this is really where you want to get into relationship with other men and with other people that are in this conversation. This is where you want to get a coach or start going into therapy or join a men's circle or start reading people like David Data, start listening to more talks around this, start being in this kind of conversation with people who are asking these questions.
Beautiful. Well, Guy, you also are, let's not discount you, because I point guys to you. Like, when it comes to this big stuff that can impact literally the quality of our lives, if I'm going to lay on my deathbed and I'm going to review my life, this is going to come up. Did I honor this part of me? So when this stuff comes up for me, I can work with guys in this area, but like, I love sending guys to you for this. Tell us a bit about what you do. Tell us a bit about the stuff that you teach.
Well, the main thing that I'm doing right now is I teach a year-long coaching program. And we've been developing this thing that we now call circling. So this year-long program is a year about training people on this, in having this way of being, in the skill set that it takes to be able to relate to somebody in this way, to be so real and to be so deeply in relationship with them, to be so fully yourself in relationship with them, that relationship creates something greater than the both of you, and that you just, that person discovers themselves in the space that you provided. So the training program that I do is about how is to become the kind of being that can create those moments for people intentionally. And imagine if that was your purpose. For me, when I'm in touch with that, when I'm in touch with that, that I do that and that I train people to do that, and that I'm training people that will train people to do that, and that they're doing that out in the world, when I realize that, my body gets filled with electricity. And as I'm talking about it, I'm getting teared up because I feel so fortunate.
Yeah.
To spend my whole life like doing this and have my whole life be about this and to be in this conversation. So that's really what I do, and it's a year-long training, and it's very, very intense.
And the coaching program you're talking about is for both men and women?
Yes, it's for both men and women, yeah.
Okay.
The first one had like 27 people in it. The second one had, this one has 33 people in it. And the next one starts the second weekend of August, of this coming August.
Okay. The way that I experience is that it's not a course that necessarily teaches you a bunch of tricks to do. Like we were talking about earlier, like, oh, I'm going to do these things to get what I need. It's really a course that helps strip down and get to who you really are. The sense of being. And from that place, transformation is so available. Just the act of being with somebody can be transformative.
Yeah.
And that, and you just got to believe me on this one, guys. But that's been my experience of working with you. That's why I jumped into the earlier version of this program that you guys did, because that was the experience I wanted. Like, I didn't want tricks done to me. I wanted to experience this being that you guys were embodying.
Absolutely. And so the year long is really, you could say, is a year long inside of a transformational crucible, right? You go in kind of this alchemical vessel for a year with this group of people, and we begin to get profoundly real with each other and really start to tell the truth and start to strip away the layers and start to deeply connect and deeply relate. Now, there are skills that you learn, of course. There are ways of talking and things that you say. But all of that, none of that matters unless you're in touch with that particular quality of beingness. And that only comes from your own transformation.
Right.
And so that's really what makes this course, is because it's fundamentally your ability to profoundly affect the other, another human being, is directly proportionate to the work that you do on yourself. And, you know, most of the people actually that do the course, I think that maybe a quarter of them are actually interested in becoming professional coaches. You know, there's a lot of managers that come. There's a lot of people that just really just want to dive into that work because they want access to that way of being to bring out to their family and to the world and whatever they do.
It's a very transformational course, and it's almost like the one of the kickbacks is that you get the skills to actually be a coach. But for me, it was just like going through that crucible that you said, and then I got some skills that'll actually help me make a living.
Absolutely.
So if we want to find out more about this course that you're talking about, where do we go online? Who do we call?
You can email me at guy@rotecenter.com, and I'll spell that out. It's G-U-Y, guy, at Arete Center, AreteCenter.com.
Great, and I'll make sure that that's on the page that this the episode page on Personal Life Media's website, so you can be able to find it there, and on my blog at triplinear.com. And is there another way to get in touch with you too?
Yeah, and my phone number is area code 415-290-8385.
Excellent. So all of that information will be available on triplinear.com. Email me directly if you can't find it. I'll be glad to pass it along, or hit Guy at that email address that you just heard. Guy, thanks so much for coming on the show and talking about this work. I don't know. I just get so many emails from guys that are really struggling with this whole purpose thing, this mission thing, and they're really hung up on it. And to have your perspective on this is really key for me. It inspires me, and I'm sure it's going to help a lot of the guys too.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's an honor.
For more information about Guy Sengstock and his year-long coaching program, please visit triplinear.com/guy, G-U-Y. Please visit The New Man on Facebook and let us know what you thought of this episode. Thanks for listening.